Welcome, everyone, to the complimentary teleconference with Rochelle Rice. My guest this evening, as I said, is Karen Jacobson, the GPS girl. Karen's speaking voice is in over 25 million GPS units around the world, and she's known as Australian Karen. I'm very happy to present to you tonight the GPS girl, her new book, The GPS Girl's Roadmap for Your Future, and with me tonight is Karen Jacobson. Karen, welcome.
Thank you, Rochelle.
I've been so excited to have you on this call. Tell us, I think you have a fabulous story, just so people know a little bit about you. Tell us how you became the voice of the GPS.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am from Australia originally, and for years I have been doing jingles and voiceover work for commercials. And I moved to New York City, and not long after I moved here, my agent contacted me, and they said, we have a client who's looking for a native Australian female voiceover artist who's living in the northeast of the United States. And I thought, well, that's me. And I went to an audition. I got the job on the spot. And before I knew it, I was recording almost 50 hours of script for a voice system that has ended up now in the GPSs, as you said, all the way around the world.
Well, yes. So from all of this, this really launched a whole brand and career for you. Tell us a bit about your process or your system that came from just becoming this GPS girl.
Well, I was continuing on my path, singing and writing songs and performing and continuing to do the voiceovers and those kinds of things. And after my voice came out in the GPSs, I was starting to get a lot of attention from people saying, oh my goodness, you're the voice in my car. And they would tell me the story of how you navigated us to Milwaukee to my cousin's wedding, and oh my goodness, if it wasn't for you, we would be lost in the Black Forest in Germany. And I just people started to be very familiar with me, and I just really knew there was something in it. And it came almost as a vision, I have to say, that this was a real platform for me to create a brand. And I've had a long history and love of personal development, and I love to read books about being the best me I can be. I love to take seminars. I've always adored that kind of thing. And I then hit on really using driving directions and road rules as an analogy for living life. And that's how the whole brand evolved.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I really enjoy, and one of the things where you and I really like to cross over, is you talk about getting in the driver's seat when it comes to your health and wellness. And I talk about, you know, taking charge or being in your body and being present. Tell us about your concept of being in the driver's seat when it comes to the health and wellness.
Well, look, we've all got an area of life where we know we're in the passenger seat, and we, or as you say, in health and wellness, there are so many areas within that category where we can think, oh, you know, maybe I'm eating more healthfully than I used to. Maybe I exercise somewhat, but that there's always another level. And to really look at it and say, well, I'm being in the passenger seat here, I'm being a bit complacent, and I'm going to put myself consciously in the driver's seat. And I think the big thing about the concept is being able to pay attention, to really look and say, I am paying attention to this area, to this action, to this small step in my day. And that takes practice.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I do know one of my clients who loves to drive. I mean, she feels so powerful physically in the car, you know, and that, so this idea of translating being in the driver's seat into, you know, how do you be in the driver's seat with your health and wellness, I think can be very powerful as well.
Yeah, and it is very much about being the one who gets to say, and we all are. We're all in charge of our own lives, but sometimes it doesn't seem that way. It's, you know, we get into our patterns and into our routines, and life happens and we forget. And really, this analogy is just something to be a constant reminder that the person who gets to make the choices is us.
As opposed to sitting in the passenger seat and just going along for the ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. I really love that a lot when you talked about being in the driver's seat versus being in the passenger seat when it comes to life, health, and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Karen, I've read through your book. I love it. It's a journal type of a book, which I absolutely love. But in chapter 4, you talk about the roadmap for your future. You talk about directions. Can you talk about a bit about direction? So if someone's trying to get their direction straight, how that might be powerful when embracing a health at every size lifestyle. How getting directions, talk a little bit about that if you wouldn't mind, please.
Well, I love using lists as a direction for life. And I'm a big journaler. I love to write things down. And when I read that you have a 90% greater chance of something happening if you wrote it down, I thought I was so shocked by that because it's so easy, you know, to write a list of the things that you'd really love to be doing to feel better every day and to be taking better care of yourself or to be taking better care of ourselves. Just the thought that if you sit and write those things down, even before you even take any actions around them, that increases your chances of paying attention to them and following through. I mean, I think that right there is pretty exciting. And I love to use lists as an analogy for the directions that we give ourselves. And one of those lists is to really write down the things that are going to make us feel better if we do them every day or on a regular basis. And health and wellness is the category, but the outcome we want to feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to feel good. And it's not every day. We wake up naturally just feeling good. So I'm a big believer in writing a list of the things that you know are going to make you feel good. And they're simple things. Having a glass of water a certain number of times every day or when you first wake up in the morning to make sure we're taking vitamins each day. Little steps, and you might miss a day where you drink other things more than you drink water, but you can start again every day. And so I'm a big believer in lists as a directions for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, and this happens, I see this quite frequently, is people will make their list, like today being the beginning of January, and then they get off the list, you know, or say, okay, I've kind of lost my direction. This is one of your most powerful messages, which is this message of recalculating in your daily life. Like, you don't have to, it's not an all or nothing, you can always recalculate, much like when you're driving the car.
Absolutely. Look, I'm, as I keep saying, I'm a big believer in having a plan, writing our lists, writing down a plan, creating a roadmap, to use that analogy. But it's a flowing, changing document, and that's how life is. We're recalculating all day, every day. So to use that analogy, you get in your car, you might make a wrong turn, the GPS says recalculating, and sometimes we hear that as bad news and we think, you know, we'll get a little bit frustrated when we hear that word. But I'm here to tell you that the word recalculating is great news. Why it's good news is you might have been off track, but as soon as you hear that word, you are immediately back on track, headed to your desired destination. And it's no different in life. So you might miss a day of exercise. You might not eat the things that you really know are the best things for you one day, but the next morning you can wake up, you can recalculate. In fact, at any point in the day you can recalculate. You don't have to get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and decide because you didn't do all of the things you know to do that are better for you by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't have to then write the day off. You can say the word recalculating and really start again. It's a do-over. It's like the 1st of January. It's a new beginning, but you can choose to use that word at any point in time. And what I think it does is it takes the pressure off of having to do things perfectly or in some way we think might be perfectly, because that doesn't exist.
I think that's what I found so fascinating. I love the word, even though I don't drive very much, but I love the word and how quickly just saying that word, recalculate, can get you back on track.
And yeah.
So the combination of being in the driver's seat, just like many people who understand of that driving, and then to recalculate on a regular basis, all, in fact, through the day if you need to, that this is okay. This is a natural life path.
I think that's the thing. I think it's normal. It's so normal. And it's I know for myself, if things aren't going the way I want them to, I used to have this habit of writing the day off. I would get to a certain point, oh, it's a bad day. You know, we so easily label the day, oh, it's a bad day, it's a bad week, it's a bad month, this is a bad time in my life. Well, it might be a challenging day, week, month, or time of your life, but look, I'm here to really enjoy my life, and I don't want to write it off quite so quickly and easily. I want to embrace it, and I want to be able to, even if I'm going through a really challenging experience, find some semblance of joy in the middle of it and be able to appreciate the good things that are going on rather than to just, you know, turn away from it and consider label it as bad, because we all know that that can lead to a spiral, and that's very difficult to come back from.
Yes, yeah, no, absolutely, and I like that, the recalculating. Listen, you also talk a lot about listening to your inner GPS, which I love, and it's very similar to my message of listening to your body. Can you elaborate on this a little bit more, listening to your inner GPS?
Absolutely. Look, the inner GPS, to me, it's those moments when you know exactly what to do, when you know you're in the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing exactly what you were born to do, and you're just so in tune. And we've all had those moments, and that to me is when you are totally listening to your inner GPS, or your inner wisdom, or your heart. We call it a lot of different things. Right. But then there are those times when we know not to go down a path. We can hear so clearly that inside us, our inner GPS is screaming not to do something, and sometimes we'll do it anyway, and then there'll be consequences. But, you know, somebody will come into your life and you have a feeling or a real instinct that this is not a person that you should go out on a date with or do business with or even have a conversation with, but you do, and you want to be nice and you don't want to, you know, be inappropriate. And then something will transpire and you'll look back and you'll say, I knew it. I knew from the beginning that that was not going to be good for me, but I did it anyway. So that's, I suppose, a bit of a description of the experiences of identifying with your inner GPS, but I have developed a meditation practice for myself, and that's very new. I'd meditated and been somebody who practices yoga for a long time, but to actually have a meditation practice every day is something that's really much newer for me. In fact, I'm only 6 months in, and I haven't missed a day. And I created what I call the inner GPS 30-day challenge, because one way to learn to listen to the inner GPS and to actually get a stronger sense of what that is for ourselves is I decided to create this challenge and starting with only 2 minutes a day sitting and quietly breathing. And I don't know how much you speak about meditation, Rochelle. Is that something that you do talk about?
Not too much. We're just mostly trying to connect with the body, but all
right.
Keep going, because you're absolutely on the right path of all of this.
I wanted to just check, yeah. So I find that I wasn't meditating regularly, even though I'd read so much about it being great for you and reducing all kinds of illness and just making you healthier in mind and body. But I just thought I wasn't doing it right. And I thought it was something different to what I now am discovering it is for me anyway. And I just thought there were all these rules around it and that I wasn't doing it right. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that all it is to sit in a quiet space. Ideally, I close my eyes and I breathe in and I breathe out and I just focus on my breath. And when thoughts come into my mind, I let them go. And that's it. And I do that, I started out by doing that for 2 minutes a day. And, you know, I understand that finding 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour to meditate every day is not going to happen for a lot of people. It's just not practical in their time frame and in their routines. But I bet anybody can find 2 minutes, even if it's the last 2 minutes before you're turning out the light at night. And just that experience of sitting quietly with my own thoughts for 2 minutes and now expanding that to a longer period, it's just made an incredible difference in my ability to think clearly and to hear myself and to connect with that inner GPS and inner wisdom of what is right for me on a daily basis.
Well, I'm going to speak for, hopefully at the end when we have some Q&A time, I'm going to speak for a few of the people that I do know on here where speed in their lives is very familiar. So even to sit for the five breaths like we did tonight is a huge step forward in health and well-being. So for those of you on the call, I would say 10 breaths is approximately 1 minute. So that's if you can go slow at it. So but that's interesting about how, we talk about, here we are on the whole idea of being in the driver's seat and speed. Karen, do you talk much of, like, to me, speed in, when it comes to GPS and all of that is huge when it comes to being present and being in one's body.
That's right. We're running so fast in our lives, and it's so full. I mean, every surface you look at out there in the world has some form of advertising on it. You know, every image and every sound, and finding a space where you don't have either background music or some kind of visual stimulation. You know, we're texting a message while we're on the other line, looking at our computer screen with the television on in the background. I mean, that's normal life these days. So to go and carve out those 2 minutes, it's such a healthy step in checking out of that pace and that speed that you're talking about. And it's actually a little bit confronting to consider doing that. But it is, it's really the key. It's really the key to allow ourselves to have that quiet time.
Well, it's interesting. I think I'm moving into your brand a little bit, but may I say, when you have speed in the driver's seat, you know, if you're not paying attention or if you're in, you get into accidents. And what I'm seeing is with many of my clients going so fast in life and not taking the chance to slow down and breathe or whatever. When I talk about accidents, we're talking about stress, we're talking about illness, we're talking about all of these other things that manifest themselves in the physical body from not being able to sit, you know, quietly, safely in the driver's seat following directions, so to speak.
And the thing about that quiet time is it enables, after you've done that for not even very long, only a few days, there are then moments where, you know, the idea is that you bring that into your daily life. And you might be racing at that regular pace, but have a real flash of, oh, hang on, there's another way. I don't have to feel so heightened and feel so panicked while I'm rushing around in my day. I can actually bring a peace with it. And a sense of calm with it. I can get 10 things done in quick succession, but do it feeling great and feeling in the driver's seat and feeling pretty calm at the same time.
Yeah. So you could be on the Autobahn, for example, but still be very calm about what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see, Karen, going through a few things on your book, I think your work is incredibly inspiring. I love the pages in your book. There's one in particular that focuses on if. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and how you came to those parts of if.
Absolutely. We get so busy, we get so caught up, and we don't always kind of stop and think, like, if I could have anything happen in my life, if I had a magic wand, how would my life be? But I love that question. If I had a magic wand, how would my life be? And it's a bit of a time out question to kind of put life on pause for a second and just to really dream and to create. And it's an exercise that I really love to do, is to sit and ask that question and then just write. And write things down. And it's so surprising the things that can come out. And, you know, definitely in my younger years, if I had a magic wand, I would have been living in America. And now I'm living in America. When I was a little girl, I was 7 years old, and I saw Olivia Newton-John on the television, and she was this blonde Australian singer who'd gone to the United States. She'd come over here, and she was so successful and embraced, and I was so inspired by that, and I thought, that's what I want. I want to be just like her. And I wanted to be a professional singer and move to America. Now, for a seven-year-old girl in a country town in Australia, where there were no professional musicians, let alone celebrities, the idea of that happening, you know, the reality was it didn't look likely. But to me, that was on my If I Had a Magic Wand list, and it never went off there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think asking that question just really, it gives us the space to identify some things. You know, I think it's a real challenge. This is part of my way of life to do this, and even I still find it difficult to allow myself to put certain things on my If I Had a Magic Wand list. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard for us and a challenge to really allow ourselves to want what we really want.
So I'm just going to, let's say the question one more time, and maybe when we open up to Q&A we can ask people what they thought about it. But so the question again, if you wouldn't mind repeating, Karen.
If I had a magic wand is the beginning of the question or the sentence to finish. If I had a magic wand, I would live in this place. And if I had a magic wand, I would travel to these countries. If I had a magic wand, I would feel like this. If I had a magic wand, my experience of life would be. So that's kind of the direction of that question. And then another one that I really love is, if I knew I couldn't fail, I would. Because again, it's normal. We have fears. You know, we've had experiences where we've decided we are going to jump out there and give something a go and be brave, and then the door's been slammed in our face and we kind of shrink back a little bit and decide we're not going to put ourselves out there quite as much anymore. And I really love this question because it's another opportunity to just take the time out and go, right, well, if I knew I couldn't fail, what would I do? And just gives us that freedom and that space to really dream about the things that are most important. And I think that's what these questions create, is a space to look at what's important and to look at our priorities. I'm really big on that, on first things first, really looking at what it is that we really, really want. Because of all these things that we want, we think they're going to bring us happiness. So the number one thing we all want is happiness and joy and just have peace of mind. I mean, there are other variations and people have their different desires, of course. But as the human race, that's really the bottom line for people.
Mm-hmm. So, Karen, I know a number of the callers on here tonight, we have such full lives, but I go back again and ask you, so if I had a magic wand, I would, whatever the answer is, how does someone then go about putting this into their lives without that feeling of, where am I going to even make space for this when I can't even find 2 minutes to breathe and meditate? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts or suggestions on that?
Absolutely. I'm going to use myself as an example. How about that?
Sure.
So if I had a magic wand, I would practice yoga. I would go to yoga classes 3 times a week, every week. I would always feel good about it. I wouldn't have any issues in my schedule of making that work. I would never feel resistance to going. And I would just feel, I would be fit and well in my body. I would eat, you know, I would eat fabulously healthy meals all the time.
Okay.
I would have my meditation practice every day. This is my If I Had a Magic Wand around my health and wellness.
That's an amazing magic wand. Okay, go ahead.
Right? So just to dream for a minute, they're all the things that I would put on a list right now.
Okay.
Then I would take a look at that list and I would say, what's one small step I could break that down to and take today? Mm-hmm. I can get very basic. I happen to belong to a yoga studio, so that's already done. But at the time I really wanted to get back into regular yoga, and I hadn't been in doing regular yoga since I had a baby. And I wanted to get back into it. One small step might be go online and find the yoga studios around my area and look up their schedules and find a class I could go to, just one class. Mm-hmm. And as simple and basic as that sounds, that's what I'm talking about, breaking it right down to the very smallest things. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, one of the things about this time of year and resolutions, I mean, resolutions, they come and they go very quickly, but really making commitments to our priorities in life and then really committing to taking small, consistent, regular steps toward those desired outcomes, that's really where we see great progress.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because I talk a lot about the one molecule approach, which means we're moving one molecule at a time. Mm. And that, again, is that same similar idea of it's, you know, people think it's, I know we talked about magic wand, but I think sometimes clients think it's magic to try, how could I ever get there? But it really, when you break it down step by step and take these small steps, it actually neutralizes the emotion and allows you, it sounds like it allows you to just stay on a path without the chaos or the drama of the emotion and just say, no, this is the steps or the course or the directions you have to take following this GPS.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the GPS. It's one direction at a time. It's one street name. It's one turn, you know, at a time. And it sounds so simplistic, but that's really where I know I've broken things down and actually achieved things I didn't know how on earth I was going to achieve. Mm-hmm. And if I was having a case of the I don't feel like it, I mean, that's a pretty powerful illness, shall I say.
I don't feel like it.
And so really I set up these different systems and lists and different structures in my life to counterbalance the I don't feel like it. Because left to my own devices, I really don't feel like it and I really wouldn't. Right. But when I went to that first yoga class and I took it really, really gently and all the people around me seemed to be so, golly, experienced and like yoga kings and queens, and I just felt so left behind, you know, like such a beginner, and it was so uncomfortable. I walked out of the class feeling so much better than when I walked into the class. Mm-hmm. And I kept holding on to that, and I thought, right, no matter how I feel when I go into that yoga class, I know I'm going to come out feeling better. And that was a mantra for me for years. Mm-hmm. To keep at it, because I just kept on having the I don't feel like it.
I love that, the I don't feel like it, yeah. That is, yeah. That can be a serious disease.
It can, and it doesn't necessarily ever go away. I've reduced it. I don't have it very often anymore. Like, I suffer from that a lot less, but it still happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm someone really committed to health and well-being, and I still go through the I don't feel like it.
Yes.
Do you ever go through that, Rochelle?
Yes. Yes, it does come up. It does come up for me, definitely. But what brings me to this last point is, Karen, what I use to get out of that is the inspiration. And as a matter of fact, at the end of your book, you do a lot about inspiration. And personally for me, I find that if I've got at least 5 things posted up that continue to inspire me, and that can change all the time, that can move me out of the I don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of the roadmap where you sit down and write. I like the top 100 things that you would love to be, do, and have in the future. Mm-hmm. And again, it's an ever-changing and ever-flowing thing, document. And I think it's fun. And, you know, this is the time of year where I revise my plans and I make a roadmap for the year ahead, more so than at any other time of the year, even though I like doing this consistently and regularly. And I'm just having so much fun at the moment thinking about the things that I would love to do that I've never done. I haven't been in a hot air balloon. One day I would like to do that. And I have a friend who takes classes in New York City. She will, she gives classes for people who want to paint. And I'm not artistic in the painting realm at all. In fact, I'm useless at drawing and painting, but I'm so excited to go and take a class. She takes people on painting adventures in Manhattan and provides all the materials, and that's something that's going to be a one-day thing that I plan to do at some point this year. And just the fun of thinking about, well, what are some of these experiences and adventures I'd like to have? That it just makes life so much more fun.
Oh, absolutely. So, Karen, I just want to pull a few of your thoughts together here as we bring this to a close, and we'll open up for Q&A. One of the primary things you talked about is being in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
The second we talked about this evening was speed, that just be mindful of your speed while you're in the driver's seat and stay the path. And the third thing was recalculate, you know, that we can recalculate at any time. Any other closing thoughts, Karen, before we open it up for Q&A?
Well, two things. One is the inner GPS, to really keep that sense of exactly what we know is the right thing for us. Because sometimes that can be a real challenge when you hear other people giving you their advice. And sometimes it's advice we ask for. But, you know, their advice or their idea about what's best for us, but to really just always, always honor your own inner GPS, because it will always steer you the right way for you. And also, I just wanted to give a few sentences regarding completing 2011 and then in creating 2012. Do we have a couple of minutes for that, Michelle?
Sure, go ahead.
So, just some of the things I've been thinking about as I complete the year just gone, because I really like to stop and acknowledge all of the things that I've experienced, and I look at the accomplishments of the year. I look at some of the disappointments, and I like to just write down a few of these things. I look at what I'm most proud of, and some of the other sentences or questions I have are, you know, I'm grateful to have met the following amazing new people. I loved being able to, looking at what the highlight of the year was, and, you know, maybe the person who made the biggest difference in my life. The experience that I'm most relieved is behind me, and then my favorite experiences. And I just like to do a check of those things and really get complete and be able to say, you know what, that year was however that year was, and it's complete and it's done, and now to create space for creating something new for the year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a couple of things in looking at creating a roadmap for 2012 is to really sit and think about the things that do bring us the most happiness. So whether that be time with your family or just trying something new or eating well or making sure we've exercised or stretching or feeling comfortable in our own skin, whatever those things might be, to just sit and write a list of those moments and those things that bring us the most happiness, and then look at what we plan to do more of that does bring that kind of happiness. And the one thing I'm going to make sure I do in 2012, and I also like to have a word of the year. And I find that to be a great step, like a really great intention, is to choose a word for the year. So just a few tips of things that I like to do at this time of year.
Oh, that's wonderful, Karen. That's just great. I love to complete the year that's gone and the word of the year for 2012. Karen, I want to thank you so much. I'm going to open it up now at this time for Q&A, and here we go.